This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, good to have you with us here on William Hill's Golf Podcast ahead of the final major of the golfing season, the 96th USPGA Championship taking place in Valhalla this week. And it's Dave Callan linking back up with Mr. Mike Grennan for the first time in a few weeks. Mike, good to have you alongside me for the season's final major.
Yes, Dave, good to be back after a holiday. So looking forward to the final major of the year, which is intriguing as ever.
You missed quite a lot while you were away.
I missed the end of the Open, although I didn't see the last day of it, but I saw the first three, and then I missed a couple of other things that were just all right.
Yeah. Rory McIlroy, incredible in the Open Championship, went on to win last week at Firestone as well. He's been incredibly impressive, and I don't want to draw any correlation with his personal life and his splitting with Caroline Wozniacki, but he did split up with Caroline Wozniacki prior to the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth, went on and won that one, then won his first Open Championship, then won at Firestone last week. So he's not doing badly since his separation from Wozniacki.
He's clearly not pining too deeply, is he?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So
yes.
He was superb again last week. He's just driving the ball so well at the moment.
Yes, yeah, playing ever so well.
And the other big bit of news last week was Dustin Johnson's suspension from the PGA Tour for 6 months. That was, I mean, the PGA Tour's continual
not to be sniffed at that, Dave,
refusal to disclose information on bans means that the rumour mill went into overdrive. Then Golf.com released the article saying he had been banned. Then the PGA Tour decided to comment on it. It was a farcical situation. But anyway, he's not playing golf for the foreseeable future anyway.
No. But he'd be misbehaving doing something, won't he, by the sounds of it?
It sounds like he's...
No, he's. Let's hope he's going to get back on the straight and narrow. And he's a great talent, but he's not doing the sport much good at the moment with that kind of stuff, is he?
No, he's not. And The other major piece of news while you were away was Tiger Woods' injury as well last week at Firestone.
They're too big. Well, we don't know whether he's going to play.
As we
sit here, it's Tuesday afternoon at 20 past 3 UK time. We don't know whether Tiger's going to play. We know that Dustin isn't. I don't wish to be silly about it or too facetious about what... You know, he needs to sort that out, though, doesn't he, Johnson?
Yep.
Clearly, he's got issues. Tiger's issues, though, are... they're getting worrying now, aren't they, in terms of his back injury. It's just injury after injury, Dave, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what you often say to me that he's punished his body too much in the past, doing all kinds of activities as well as... He did a lot of US military type training,
didn't
he?
Lots of stuff, yeah.
Things like that, and that maybe his body is showing signs of serious wear and tear, and... Yeah, you may well be right on that one, Dave, that he might not win any more majors. I always thought he would, but he can't keep missing so many big events, can he?
No, it is worrying. And when he limped off the course last week at Firestone, I was thinking this could be a potentially career-threatening injury here.
Mm.
And there's still talk of him playing this week at Valhalla. I'd be amazed. I know we're sitting here
in the dark,
so to speak, at this moment in time, but I'd be amazed. He's currently a 33-1 shot for the USPGA Championship. When was Tiger ever 33-1 for any event?
Amazing.
But I'd expect him to scratch this week.
I could look silly by saying this. As we say, it's Tuesday afternoon here, and he could easily turn up and play, but I have a funny feeling we might not see him again this calendar year.
Yeah, I agree. Let's get stuck into the event then. The USPGA Championship is the season's final major championship, and Rory McIlroy is 5-1 favourite. Adam Scott 12-1. Justin Rose is 18s, along with Sergio Garcia. Ricky Fowler 20-1. Henrik Stenson, Matt Kuchar, and Phil Mickelson all 25s. Charles Schwartzel and Keegan Bradley both 28-1, and it's 33s and bigger the rest. And Valhalla Golf Club in Louisville, Kentucky, is the host for this year's championship. It's known affectionately stateside as Glory's Last Shot.
I knew you were going to say that, you know.
I love it. I do like it.
When it's a charity shield, do you say the traditional curtain raiser to the season?
I do say that, yeah. I'm nothing if not cliche-ridden, Mike. Let's start with the golf course, because it's a Jack Nicklaus-designed golf course.
It is.
It hosted the PGA Championship in 96, when Mark Brooks beat Kenny Perry, and in 2000, when Tiger Woods beat Bob May in that epic playoff.
Yes.
Do you remember much about that playoff?
I do, yeah. I remember both playoffs, funnily enough, very well. It's a really good course. We know that from the Ryder Cup, 2008 Ryder Cup, and a couple of senior events there as well. So, no, I do remember both events very well. It's the interesting thing, Dave, is that the current kind of received knowledge on this tournament is that you're going to likely to have to hit it quite a long way. And I know some of the Tiger obviously does that, but Mark Brooks was never a long player, you know. And I noticed in the 2000 PGA that Alazabal and Chalmers were up there, who were quite short hitters, really.
Yep.
So it's going to be interesting to see whether that is as big a factor as people are saying. I have to say, I've gone for longer hitters myself, because I have a funny feeling that the distance will be a factor this week, but it's not absolutely been a graveyard for short hitters, has it?
I agree with you in terms of that, because I've read a lot about the rough being down this year, the golf course playing softer than it has done in previous big championships here because of the weather, and the weather might be a big influence on this year's championship.
Yeah.
But from what I've heard from some of the players that played in that Ryder Cup, Graham McDowell being one, and I'll come on to him in due course, he was saying that it was a positional type golf course and not a big hitter's paradise, so to speak. But there is, it's been, a few people have compared it to Muirfield Village, host of the Memorial, and you can see why. There's space off the tee here.
Yes.
And it is a second shot golf course, but lots of Nicklaus designs are second
shot.
They're
nearly all second shot golf courses, which is why that probably takes the driving distance criteria down a little bit, doesn't it? Yeah, I absolutely agree with Nicklaus courses. He says it himself, doesn't he? He likes courses that are second shot courses, and greens in regulation and ball striking therefore become very, very important.
He also likes holes that go both ways.
Yes.
So he wants players to use every shot in their bag, basically, succeed. And it's going to be interesting to see the golf course since the slight redesign with the greens as well. After the 2011 Senior PGA Championship, they were upgraded to a more heat-tolerant strain of bent grass, and some of the contours were softened as well. So it will be interesting to see how it plays this time round, as opposed to when I've seen it most notably in the 2008 Ryder Cup.
Yes. It could be a little bit different than that, couldn't it? It's just going to be fascinating. It's a great golf course. Really good, typical PGA-type event course for this final major of the season. One which gives people a chance to score, but it's tough enough as well. And it's fascinating. Yeah, I'll be interested. It'd be very interesting to see that thing about the distance, whether it's as critical as everyone seems to be saying it's going to be. I think that could be one to watch out for. It may just be that someone who can get the ball near the hole, proximity to the hole, those sort of things could feature as well.
Let's have a gander through the betting then. McIlroy is the 5-1 favourite. Adam Scott 12s. Justin Rose 18s. Sergio Garcia 18s. Ricky Fowler 20s. Henrik Stenson 25s, Matt Kuchar 25s, Phil Mickelson 25s, 28s bar. I'm going to save a little bit back see what conditions are like over the first couple of days, or at least the first day of this championship.
For one of your weekly Twitter bets.
I'm going to watch a lot of this tournament. I'm going to have a Twitter bet this week.
Hey!
You heard it here first. I'll definitely be having a Twitter bet, but I want to save some back because I'm so scared that one of those top two guys in the betting in particular, are going to... I think they've both got incredibly solid credentials this week, and I know I'm stating the obvious there, but I was tempted by both at their respective prices, 5-1 McIlroy and 12-1 Scott.
How many picks have you got, Dave?
I've got 2 picks.
Well, I've got 3, and I'm going to go first.
Okay.
My first pick, you may not have heard of this fella, Rory McIlroy.
Yeah.
I think he's a fantastic price at 5-1, Dave. He really does tick all the boxes. Now, if Tiger Woods had won an Open and a bridged WGC event in his last 2 events and was world number one, he wouldn't be 5-1 for this, would he?
No, he wouldn't.
McIlroy's on the same number of majors, roughly, for his age as Woods was by his age, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Comparatively. Do you get that?
Yeah? I get that, yeah.
Yeah, well, didn't express it very well, but you know what I mean. I can't see him being out of the place. I think he's an each-way bet to nothing at 5-1. Even more so if it rains, because he likes courses that have been softened by the weather. He's just in stunning form. He's obviously won his last 2 events, but prior to that had top 10s in the Masters and at TPC. Top 25 at the US Open wasn't brilliant, but he also won the Wentworth event, the BMW at Wentworth. Rory's top 10 for greens in regulation, hits it a mile. He's 3rd on tour for driving distance, top 10 for ball striking. He has to be in the money. He has to be in the money. And I really do fancy his chances strongly to win this. And 5-1 is, on the face of it, doesn't seem a great price, but he's just playing sublime golf. And he is the best player in the world at the moment.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I undoubtedly the best player in the world at the moment. I know you draw comparisons with Woods. There are a couple of differences from him at this age now and Woods when he was dominating in the major championships in his early career, because Woods was a more spectacularly consistent putter than McIlroy. Would you agree with those sentiments?
I would agree with that, Dave. But Woods was just better at everything, wasn't he, early on in his career than everyone else. He dominated, had a little bit of a hex on everyone, really. I suppose it's fair to say that McIlroy hasn't quite got that level of dominance yet, but it could be on its way. It could be on its way. So, having tipped him for the... we did it, our pre-season golf preview of 2014. I tipped him for the first 2 majors, didn't I?
Yep.
Then he won the 3rd. Thank you, Rory. But this time round, I really think... I didn't want to pick him, if I'm being honest. And when I started looking at this tournament, I was kind of looking at reasons not to tip him. But I just think that the greens in regulation stat is massive here, and he's just hitting it so well. He's driving it like a dream.
He is absolutely pummeling it off the tee. Like, on Sunday afternoon when he was playing alongside Garcia, one of the best drivers of a golf ball in his generation, and McIlroy was consistently... He was beating him up there out there with that driver, hitting it long and straight. He is streaky with the putter, but the putter is very hot at the moment as well.
Yes, it is.
I was almost there with you, McIlroy.
5 points. 5 points.
5 points.
Yeah, it's got to be 5 points to win 25.
Okay. Are you going each way? You said each way bet to nothing. Then would you play 5 points each way?
Well, I'm not, but I wouldn't put anyone off doing that. I'm not going 5 points. I'll probably back him for myself each way, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
But for the, I can't have 10 points on him. Can I on a podcast? Can I? I want to go in deep for the win.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll let people make their own minds up on their points taking, Dave. Those who are more cautious, I can't see him being out of the top 6 places, isn't it? How's he going to be out of the top 6?
I think he'll... Yeah, I think there's a good chance he'll win this week, McIlroy. I'm not going for him at 5-1, but...
5-4,
I understand.
5-4, the place bet. 5-1, the win bet. Yeah, for the sake of this podcast, because I want to have a couple of other bets, I'll go win only, but really, the shrewd bet is each way.
I'm going with another Northern Irishman is my headline pick.
I sense that from your earlier comment, actually.
Yeah, Graham McDowell at 40-1. I think the price is good on McDowell this week. I'll play 1.5 points each way on McDowell. Quite surprised to see him as big as that. I thought he'd be a 28-33 shot this week. He's played really strong golf the last month. In the Open, after an opening round of 74, he showed his game was in fine fettle last week with a pair of 66ers at the weekend at Firestone. That vaulted him into a share of eighth. He's striking it supremely well. If he'd had the putter going in Ireland, he would have won that event. Went on to win in France. Mm. Putted well last week at Bridgestone as well. And as I mentioned earlier on the podcast, he sees this golf course where he made his first appearance in the Ryder Cup in 2008, won 2.5 points in four matches there, as a positional golf course, a second shot golf course. And on a Nicklaus design, his stats stack up well. He's fifth in strokes gained putting on the PGA Tour this season, 18th in scrambling. They're good stats for this event, in my opinion. And you look at his last five starts, sixth, first, ninth, ninth, eighth. Comes into this on the top of his game. He's got three top 15s in the last five USPGA championships as well. And you add into that that he's got good form at the Honda Classic in recent years, which is played on a Nicklaus design course, PGA National, which may be not drawing the same sort of comparisons as Muirfield Village, the host of the Memorial, but still augurs well, in my opinion. So I'm confident with McDowell this week.
Okay, yeah, we're going with... funny enough, Dave, I think this course has mainly been won by Americans, and I picked two non-Americans, and you certainly picked at least one, so we'll see what happens, but...
We have had shocks in this event throughout the years, haven't we? We have had some shocks. I just get the feeling the way the players towards the head of the betting are playing at the moment, I'm not sure we'll get a shock this time around. The last four PGA champions all been players from the very top draw with Duffner, McIlroy, Bradley and Kiemer.
Bradley was a bit of a surprise at the time.
It wasn't it?
And why Yang not so far before
He had won the Byron Nelson, hadn't he,
Bradley? Yes, he had, yeah. But it was still a decent price for this, wasn't it? I can't remember what. Was he 80s or something like that?
He was a bit bigger than that, I think.
Was he?
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah, it's you're not expecting a Sean McKeel, is that what you're saying?
I'm not, or a Rich Beem. You mentioned Wai Yang in passing there, and that might turn out to be Tiger's last chance to win a major championship, that one in 2009, you couldn't believe that Wai Yang, or I couldn't believe Wai Yang took him down. Yeah. That was one of those, that could be one of those defining moments in Woods' career, because he was leading, wasn't he? Yeah. And for him to blow a lead in a major championship,
it was unheard of
at the time, back in 2009.
He did win here in 2000, Tiger, so if he is fit and he turns up, you couldn't dismiss him entirely.
No.
I won't be backing him at the moment. I'm worried about it.
Yeah, his swing looks terrible at the moment to me.
It's I think a bit of time off again.
It's bad for golf at the moment, isn't it?
Bad
as well,
for
because
golf.
The ratings drop considerably.
Yeah.
People keep saying to me, "Oh, we might get to see someone else." It's supply and demand. Mm. People want to watch Tiger Woods play golf. He transcended the sport, didn't he? Really?
Yeah, there's a free song about any event that he's involved in that doesn't happen when he's not there, and that's a fact. The crowd all want to see him. The TV ratings are... even Rory McIlroy and Mickelson, guys like this, who are probably the next biggest box office guys, then maybe Ricky Fowler, but they're not close to him, I don't
think. Nowhere near.
No.
Not yet, anyway.
No, not yet. Moving on, my second pick is an each-way pick on a guy that I'm convinced will win a major one day, Hunter Mahan.
Okay.
I think he's a decent price at 66-1. He's not been in outstanding form this season, I have to confess, but he's just beginning to move into a better run of form in recent events. And I have to take out a poor outing in the Canadian Open in that, by the way, where his second round 75 wasn't very good. But in the last three other events that he's played, top 25 at Quicken Loans, 32nd in the Open, and 15th, crucially, in the Bridgestone at the weekend, where, interestingly enough, he was tied first for greens in regulation and 18th for strokes gained putting, the latter stat being quite an important one. He needs to putt well. But he's a good greens in regulation player, good driver, long and straight. I think that's important here. I'm just thinking that Hunter Mahan, who played very well in the 2008 Ryder Cup on this event, on this course, rather, at 66-1, he's a lot bigger than other players who've had nowhere near the major finishes that he's had.
Yep.
He's gone close a few times. admittedly usually went in better form than this, so there is a reason for the price, but I think the 66 is worth taking.
Okay, 66-1 at Hunter Mahan, Mike's second pick here. Just a quick side note here. An interesting stat that I read on the power rankings that Rob Bolton produces for the PGA mm-hmm. Tour, which ties in with both your opening picks and my opening pick as well, is that each of the last 10 winners of the US PGA Championship recorded a top 25 finish in his last PGA start prior to winning the Wanamaker Trophy. So that's a... I think that was the most interesting stat I've read prior to this championship.
Interesting. So you've got to be informed.
Yeah, that's probably what you draw from that.
My number three pick's also there. I'm happy enough there on that.
I'm going with a bomber. I wanted a bomber in the team this week. Gary Woodland is my second selection. At
nearly picked him myself, Dave.
At 80-1. Yeah, I think 80-1's fair, isn't it? He's got some decent form at Muirfield Village as well.
Yep.
Sixth there in 2011 and 16th in 2013. And even though he's had an indifferent spell following his tie for seventh in the Byron Nelson, I think it took him a while to get over that tournament, because that was one I think he thinks he probably should have won.
Yes.
I tipped him for that event. He finished tied seventh in the end, and he was bang there.
Collapsed a bit.
He did a little bit. He shot a final round 71 when people were going low in that Byron Nelson Championship. And even though his form dipped subsequently, he still made 18 straight cuts. Gary Woodland.
Just needs to hold putts, Dave. The only thing that put me off him, he's good greens in regulation for such a long hitter, isn't he? He's a really good second shot player. He's just his putting. He needs to put better. But he can... he can turn the putting on, you know, out of the blue. So I totally get the pick. If he puts well, wouldn't surprise me if he has a real good week.
I'm hoping what people are saying about Valhalla comes to fruition as well. The fact that the rough is down, because he was wayward off the tee last week. Still found a lot of greens in regulation at the Bridgestone, where he finished tied 19th in the end. But missed a heck of a lot of fairways. So hopefully Valhalla will suit him. He's ranked 19th in greens in regulation on the season, 24th in total driving, and it's worth remembering as well, his best form last year came at this time of the season as well, where he won in Reno, didn't he, and then finished second at the Barclays in the playoff events as well. So hopefully just running into a little bit of form again with that top 20 last week.
Could easily run a big race, wouldn't he? Yeah. And he's a player who we both admire, and it's about time he contended in a major. So he was on my list. I had four Americans who were all close to being picked, and he was right at the head of them. I'll mention the other three in a minute, but my third pick is a guy that I'm going to give one last go to, because he's another one who, this fella's another one who needs to put a little bit better. But this course could be right up Henrik Stenson Street, I think. Top 20 at Bridgestone last week, where the only thing that let him down was his putting. His form isn't as moderate as some people might think. He finished 20th in the Bridgestone, top 40 in the Open, which was a bit disappointing in truth. But 4th in the US Open, 14th in the Masters. He's playing well in big events. He was 7th at Wentworth, 2nd in the BMW in Germany. A very good ball striker, as we know, sublime ball striker. His greens and reg stats are great this season. I just think that Henrik Stenson has got major ability, and at 25-1, I think he's worth a crack.
Okay, Henrik Stenson, 25-1, your final pick. Who came closest for you then, Mike?
Other than Henrik?
Yes.
Other than three, sorry. Well, Woodland was very much up there, Dave. I probably actually might just say to people that I think one that I do think it's maybe even worth a little bit, although I've already had three picks, is Brendan Steele at 200-1.
Okay.
I think he's slightly gone off the boil after a couple of top 25, a couple of top five positions, should I say, in the Travellers and the Quicken Loans. But 25th last weekend in that birdie fest in the Barracuda, it just showed that he's maybe back to form. I just thought 200-1 was very big for him. He's been in good form all season. JB Holmes, I thought I was going to tip for this event.
Yeah, I thought you'd have gone for him.
He's been cut, Dave. He's 80, isn't he now?
Yep.
He was probably the player that I was expecting to pick in this event. I've been waiting for it all season. He's a Kentucky lad. I think he's got a lot of experience of the course from what I read, and played ever so well last week with well, whilst just dropping off a bit in the final round. JB Holmes, I suppose the one thing I would be slightly against him is I don't think he's a great second shot. He's not a greens and reg man, is he?
No.
But yeah, he was close. And the other guy who was close, Harris English.
Yeah, he's quality, isn't he, Harris English?
Those four, Holmes, English, Steele and Woodland, they're all big prices. You know, they're all at minimum 80-1. Given that I've had a big bet on Rory, I can't be tipping all of them. But they were the closest. Steele. But they're all very close, that's all I'll say. About you?
Yeah, the one guy I had in mind towards the head of the betting was Charles Schwartzel, but he's way too short at 28, so unfortunately...
Couldn't have him at that.
No, he's got a strong link with Muirfield Village. Form last week in Firestone in Patches was superb, but it looks respectable, his strokes gained putting statistics. He's 68th on the PGA Tour. Whenever I see him in contention, he's missing putts.
Yeah.
And that concerns me. And he's still only got one win stateside. And that, obviously, a biggie, the 2011 Masters. But that makes 28-1 short enough.
I noticed you were quite keen on Scott.
Yeah.
Adam Scott.
I just think there's no holes in Adam Scott, as far as I can see. He's number one on par fives this season. He's got five straight top tens on tour, including the win at Colonial and a place at the Open Championship. He's relegated to number two now. He'll want his number one spot back, so that gives him extra incentive. He's not finished worse than tied 15th in 12 of his last 15 major championships. This guy has elevated his game. He's got solid form at Memorial as well. I don't see a... Apart from the price, which is probably a little bit too short for a guy that's only won one major championship, I don't see any negatives.
No, can you see negatives in Scott?
No,
I mean, he's in fantastic form, and his major performances in recent times have been fantastic. He's just not a player that I can back at 12-1 for some reason. I wouldn't put anyone off him, obviously. What about Sergio?
He's too short, isn't he? He's got to be too short at 18-1, but
I'd like to see him win a major.
I'd love to see him win a major championship. I think he enjoyed playing with McIlroy on Sunday night. Maybe he enjoyed playing with McIlroy too much. they had lunch the before they teed off, apparently, together.
Oh, that's good.
It is good, but do you want to see a little bit more fight? He's not saying that about Rory McIlroy, he's lunching Sergio Gasly. He's winning though, isn't he? it doesn't matter for him because he's going out there and he's turning around three shot deficits within four holes. Garcia, it's going to sound wrong, seemed content at the end of that tournament on Sunday
possibly.
Evening.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose what you would have to say about Sergio is he's played in an awful lot of majors and hasn't won one of them. And 18-1, despite his great current form, and he really is in good form with three second place finishes out of his last four events, you just can leave 18-1, can't you? Ricky Fowler is not for me at 20-1. He doesn't win enough for me.
People have latched onto his major championship record this season.
He's been in
the top five in all three majors.
He can obviously win. He's very talented, but 20-1, no thanks.
No.
Henrik Stenson, I think this could be a really good course for Henrik. Matt Kuchar could go well this week, Dave. Do you think you were annoyed
at his performance in the Open Championship?
Yes, I was. And I don't know what he was doing there, and that's probably knocked him off my list for a little bit.
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. You know, I'm not a fan.
Not,
I think he can play well.
If he found out, he'd be a bit upset. But he'll live. He'll get through.
What about Big Phil?
What do you think? You tell me what you think.
Not convinced. I know a lot of people were latching on to his final round at Bridgestone last week, where he shot 62, and I'm sure he'll take a lot of confidence. He can turn it on at any point, can't he, Phil Mickelson? But he's obviously not having his best season to date. That's an understatement. And
his putting's a little suspect at the moment, I think, don't you?
Very much so. Mm. Very much so. And even though he putted a lot better in that final round on Sunday, not for me at 25s.
The only other one I'm going to ask you about, Dave, because I thought you might have picked Jordan Spieth.
He's gone off the boil, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has.
He doesn't look the same player as he did in the spring, in my opinion, right now. 33-1, Jordan Spieth. It's a fascinating event. Have you got any players you liked in any of the side markets?
Dave, I had a look through them and nothing jumped out as a bet, to be absolutely fair, but I'm happy to. I've had a look at all of them, so I've got a view if you've got bets.
Well, you know what? I'm going to take on Henrik Stenson in the Swedish market.
I don't. Now, I'll be truthful with you. I don't think that's necessarily the worst play of all time, because he is short at 4-6 in that market, isn't he? That is a really interesting little market, that one you picked.
Yeah.
Who have you picked then? I couldn't even guess.
I've gone Jonas Blixt at 6-1 in that market. Yeah. I think a lot of people might latch on to Robert Karlsson because he's in good form at the moment.
Great form.
Karlsson. But I like Blixt in that market at 6-1. He was as short as 8-15 when I looked at the market earlier. Mm. He's 4-6 now, Stenson. So definitely wanted to take him on at 8-15. I think 4-6 is obviously a fairer price, but I think the golf course might suit Blixt, and he tends to come to the fore in these big events.
Yeah, yeah. He said, despite what I think, he seems to prefer kind of tougher courses, which I must admit I didn't think that would have suited him, but that's what he claims, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Mm. I think that's got a lot to do with how well he scrambles and puts.
Mm, he puts beautifully.
He does. He's brilliant. He scratches a ball striker, isn't he, in all honesty? Mm. Rory McIlroy said that when he played with him at Wentworth. But he tied second at the Masters this season, fourth in the PGA Championship last season as well. Scrambling and putting, often the MO on Nicholas Design golf courses and in major championships. He's got that toughness, and it might see him win that market at 6-1.
You can make an argument for any of those four. Jakobsen puts like a dream and has played well in the USPGA before. Carlson's in massive form, and Stenson, I fancy to win the thing. So, not to finish second to Rory, but. I can totally see that one, Dave. I really can.
Another few special markets that I like the look of. Mm. I was half tempted by Colin Montgomery in the top Scott market. He's 9-2 in that market, Monty. Just given the season that he's had, albeit
that's one I didn't look at. Bring up those prices.
Tour, he's 9-2 in that market, playing Gallagher, Knox, and Warren. I think he might have a good week this week, Monty. I've got a feeling he's going to have a good week.
I tell you what, that's
Knox
that's
and Gallagher in good form. But I
was looking at top senior betting, Dave, and we're not doing it now because I'd have picked Montgomery. He might not be quite long enough for this course, would be the only thing. But yeah, no, that's 9-2.
Couple of major senior major championships in America.
He's playing
of
great.
Big events in America under his belt.
Playing fantastic. And we know he's a second shot player.
Yeah.
If he can, yeah, no, that's. I've seen a lot worse. But that's a good pick, that, Dave. I like that 90. I didn't look at the top, Scott, I have to say.
Yeah, because Knox has obviously got a lot of US experience, but Gallagher and Warren not so much.
Yeah, and Gallagher is a really good player these days, and Knox are, but they're decent players. But Monty's in great form in the US, better form than Knox is at the moment over there, to be truthful. So yeah, I like that a lot. Mark Warren, it'd be a bit of a learning experience for him, I guess, won't it?
Yes.
To be fair to Knox, I'm just having a look in his top 30 in his last three events, so yeah, he'd probably be
much major championship experience though on the back.
No,
the back
and ditto Mark Warren, so it's a different challenge, whereas Monty will go there head held high, full of confidence. He's playing much better than he has for a long, long time. He's really performed superbly on the Champions Tour, and yeah, I like that, Dave. I like that 9-2.
Those are the two.
Sporting.
Those are the two that I looked at. I also think Adam Scott even money for a top 10. Looks good to me. I think he'll definitely finish top 10.
Evens
this
week. For a top 10.
Yeah. Mm. It's maybe looking at the broad range of prices there. Evens may be a little bit on the short side, but I think it will happen. I think he will finish top 10 this week, Adam Scott, and fearful of those two at the head of the betting.
What
as I mentioned
would you
right
rather
at the start of the top of the podcast.
And I know this isn't quite the analogy, because obviously you've got to have a win bet as well on Rory, but what would you rather have, Evens, Scott, top 10, or 5-4, Rory McIlroy, top 6?
I think McIlroy, if he's in contention, will win. So I'd go evens. I'd play if I was back in McIlroy this week, I'd play him win only, because I think if he's in contention,
he wins.
He wins, because yeah. I think he's so hot with the putter at the moment, and he's driving the ball so well. No, if he's in second or third place going into the final round within striking distance of the leaders, I think he'll win.
And I take that logic, Dave. Absolutely, that's a very good point. He may have some mental letdown or something, I suppose, and he could be unplaced. But if he's there or thereabouts, it's hard to see him not winning, isn't it?
That's why I'd play him win only.
I get your logic there, totally. I mean, two minds whether to back him win only or each way for myself, to be truthful. Probably predominant win in a bit place, just because I just can't see him being out of the six in truth. But that's the way it goes. I don't like picking the favourite, Dave. I feel a little bit guilty, but I just couldn't get away from him.
No, I think it's fair comment this week. It really is.
I think Tiger Woods would have been, in some, you know, with two big wins to his name. Wouldn't he have been about 2-1, 6-4?
Yeah, when you were mentioning that, and you drew comparisons with Woods' early career, I was trying to think back to what sort of prices Woods was when he'd won his first three major championships. Short. And I couldn't recollect.
It'd be interesting if anyone who listens could tweet us on that, if anyone knows, say what Tiger went off for, what price he went off for after his third major win.
Yeah.
What he went off in his fourth major.
That would be very, very helpful.
Someone could get furnishes of that. It'd be fascinating to see. My guess is 6-4, 2-1.
Yes. No, that's fair comment.
But I might be wrong. Won't be the first time.
that's us done and dusted then. Let's recap the
Are you really going to have a Twitter bet on at D. Kellner this weekend?
I am. I'm going to at D. Kellner and at M. Grenham to follow us on Twitter. I have saved a bit back, given that I've only had two outright bets. And those two outright bets, I'm confident, particularly on Graham McDowell, 1.5 points each way at 40-1. And I'll take a point each way on Gary Woodland at 80-1. I had noted down a couple of top tens that I wanted to mention as well. I like Snedeker top 10, who's coming back into some form at 9-2, and Jim Furyk, who is Mr. Consistent, isn't he? If this golf course does suit the slightly shorter hitters, albeit he can compete on long golf courses as well, I thought him top 10 at 11-4 wasn't bad. And those two special markets I like. Blix to be top Swede at 6-1. And have a look at Monty to be top Scott.
I mean, good picks there in the specials, Dave. Mm. I'm not that sure about Blix the more I think about it. He'd probably wouldn't be my pick in that one.
He's not in good form.
But the rest of them I really like. So, yeah, good effort there. For me, it's Rory McIlroy, 5 points win or 15 points each way or something. I don't know. But he's going to win, I think. Henrik Stenson, a point each way at 25s. And the same on Hunter Mahan, who is not in consistent form this year, but he's shaping up nicely. And this could be a good event for him at 60-61. He's better than a lot of the players short than him.
Thank you, Mike, and thanks to you for listening to the Golf Podcast this week. Any thoughts, do tweet them to at D. Kellner or at M. Grenham. Also, check out Golf Twitter Tipster at Golf Twit Tipster, and we'll be back for more action next week. Enjoy it, the final major championship of the season, the USPGA from Valhalla in Kentucky, starting on Thursday. William Hill, a quarter of the odds, first six, and Rory McIlroy is your 5-1 favourite. Hope you've enjoyed the podcast, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.